How the sea heaved. The little ship Mayflower was fighting her way to America through the waves. Sometimes she lifted herself as if she were going to fly. Sometimes she dipped until her handrail almost touched the water. She was a queer-looking ship, with a high deck and dark cabins and great sails. She leaked a little and she tossed a great deal. But the 100 people on board were very thankful to have any kind of ship. They were poor, and they had suffered a great deal. Now they were coming to a new country where they could be free. A group of children stood near the middle of the deck, looking out over the dark waters. Some of them were very little. Others were 15 or 16 years old. Nearly all of them looked sad and tired. "Oh, if we could only reach land," said Love Brewster. Love was 8 years old, with eyes as blue as English violets. His brown hair was curly, though Mistress Brewer, his gentle mother, cut it very short. "I do not believe we shall ever get off this water," said Bart Allerton, Love's best friend. At this, little Damaris Hopkins began to cry. And Priscilla Molines, a pretty merry-faced girl, picked her up and soothed her. "Hush, children," she said to Love and Bart. "Only have patience." "But, Priscilla, I have no room to run," said Love. "And everybody looks so sad," said little Remember Allerton. "The ship may be going to sink, as they feared last week." "Nay, nay," answered Priscilla, laughing. "Our elders always look sad." "Except you, dear Priscilla," Love said. Priscilla was French. Although she was going with the grave English to America, many a time her gay laugh caused her elders to shake their heads and sigh. But Priscilla was as bright as the sunshine of France and as merry as the music of the peasants of her own country, and she could not change her nature. She wore a touch of color at her throat, and the children liked to see it. The other women wore gray or black dresses. Even the little girls wore sober colors, and their dresses came to their feet, making them sedate little copies of their mothers. The girdles and trousers and doublets of the men and boys were all of dark materials. The pilgrims did not believe in gay colors, nor indeed in gaiety of any sort. "Now I will tell you a secret," Priscilla said. "Something has happened that you will all like."
"What is it?" they all asked.
"God has sent us a gift," Priscilla said.
"Oh, is it something to eat?" asked Wrestling Brewster, Love's 7-year-old brother.
"No, I'd rather have something to eat. A big fruit pudding," Bart said.
"I'd like to eat 3 all by myself," said John Billington.
"Don't be greedy, John," Priscilla said. "Listen." An odd wailing sound came to them from the high deck cabin.
"It's the wind in the sails," declared Bart.
It's a cat," said Wrestling. At this all the children laughed. They knew very well it was not a cat. It was a long time since they had seen one, although there were 2 dogs on board.
"Go, Love, to Mr. Hopkins," said Priscilla. "Ask him to show you the gift that was sent us all here on the sea."
The other children watched Love as he hurried over the uneven deck and entered the cabin. Presently he returned with Mr. Hopkins, a tall, grave man, gray-haired and dark-eyed.
"Come then, children, and you shall see the gift," said Mr. Hopkins. He turned to his little daughter Damaris, who was clinging to Priscilla's hand.
"The gift is for you most of all, Damaris," he said. The children followed Mr. Hopkins into the cabin. There, in a corner, stood a quaint little box upon rockers.
"It's a cradle," Love whispered.
"And is a cat in it?" asked Wrestling. Mr. Hopkins bent down and lifted out a little white bundle.
"It's a baby!" cried the children.
And a baby it was. It opened its little blue eyes and wrinkled its pink nose and struck out with its little baby fists. As the children looked at the baby, John Billington, who was always getting into mischief, tried to tickle it, but Priscilla held his hand.
"Whose baby is it?" asked Bart.
"Mine," said Mr. Hopkins. "He is to be called Oceanus, because he has come to us here on the great ocean."
Little Oceanus opened his mouth and cried as if he did not like the Atlantic Ocean. Mr. Hopkins carried him to his mother, while Priscilla took the children on deck again.
"Baby Oceanus is not English, and he is not American," said Love.
"It is very strange to be born on the sea. He does not belong anywhere."
"Yes, he does," said Bart. "If we are nearer England, he belongs to England. If we are nearer America, he belongs to America."
"But we can't tell where we are. We don't know whether we're near land or not," Love said. "Let us go once more to the front of the ship and look."
"No," said Bart. "It would be of no use. I'm tired of trying to see land."
So Love walked by himself to the bow of the Mayflower. The whole world seemed to be part of the half of a big ball, the green ocean, the flat part, and the blue sky, the curved part. Love could see nothing but sky and water.
"If there is land, I can see it first, for Father says I am far-sighted," he thought.
For a long time he stood there, looking at the white crests on the dark green waves and thinking of little Oceanus. All at once, as he raised his eyes, he gave a jump.
"I do see something," he shouted. "I see a little gray line away to one side."
He looked and looked till his eyes ached. The longer he looked, the surer he was that he saw land. He ran to his father, who was the elder or minister of the little company.
Elder Brewster was talking to Mr. Hopkins. "Oh, dear father, may I speak to you?" Love said, for the little pilgrim children had been taught to show great respect to their parents. "What is it, child?" asked Elder Brewster. "I see land!" shouted Love. "Let me tell Captain Jones that I see land." At that moment a sailor away up on the mast shouted, "Land ho!" How the children laughed! Even their sober elders smiled, and the sailors of the ship cheered loudly. "I knew it was land, and I found it first," Love said, jumping up and down. Quiet little wrestling Brewster took his father's hand.